Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Eglin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
That's true.
And, of course, the famous Alec Medford as I continue to try to fight against the idea that I don't want the Stars to go 82-0 as put out from the 6-0-1. I absolutely would love to see that, I'm just saying.
It just feels like you don't.
Statistically, feels.
I know you're trying to be a realist or whatever. But in real like math, there is a possibility.
There
and you
is?
You say there is no possibility.
That's true. This is where I diverge from math.
You hate math.
Because you're right. Math says there's absolutely a possibility. Me, Kevin,
says.
I say there is no possibility. Although, to be fair, I continue to be super pumped about this freaking offense, man, after you scored 5 more goals yesterday. I know you were kind of joking about how they only score 5 goals, but check this out. Stars scored 5 goals in each of their first 3 games. Only 2 teams in NHL history in the last, well, let me try that again. Only 2 teams in the NHL in the last 35 years, my apologies, have had a longer streak to start the season. The Bruins from a few years back who went on a torrid pace, and then the 1992-93 Canucks, they both started with 4 games of 5-plus goals. So if Dallas can dial it up one more time when they ironically host Vancouver, they would be just the 3rd team in the last 35 years to start off this hot offensively, and I think that is tremendously encouraging.
You know, what's even cooler about it, man, I'm looking at this top 100 list right now, and it's nice to have, what, 4 in the top 35?
I didn't break it down by that. I know the Stars have more people on that list.
5 in the top
7. 35. They have 7 in the top 100.
That's cool.
More than any other team, and it's one more than the Florida Panthers.
Kevin, I went this morning to look at the stats. You know, 5 goals in each of these games, and then the way that they've won. You know, Otters ranked 33rd in goals against average. There's nobody in the top 10 in scoring. Like, it's the Stars. Mikko Rantanen's an amazing player, and we know that he's going to step up in big moments too, hopefully. But it's like they're all kind of right there. They're a good team.
Yeah.
And like they play really good team hockey, and I love their brand. I love that brand of hockey. I was very concerned about a drop off when Glenn Gullitson walked into the room. I really was, just because Pete DeBoer has a certain standard he likes. Glenn Gullitson has his standard too and has the talent to run with it. You know, that's the key. If he came into this team and it wasn't a talented team, maybe this looks a little different to start. Now what we're going to see from Glenn Gullitson, obviously the mastermind power play, but now what we're going to see from here on is how he manages the ship and how he manages keeping this thing steady when things could get rocky at some point.
Okay. If we're talking about getting rocky, can I just ask a question? It's not an issue. It's just a question about a potential concern going forward early on.
This is the reason you think they won't go 82-0, huh?
Actually, yes.
Interesting.
They are giving up a ton of shots on goal. Like, it doesn't always work out like this, obviously. But a lot of times it feels like whoever controls the puck the most, whoever has the best pass percentage, and whoever gets off the most shots, like there's a good chance that they're going to win that game. That has not been the case for the Stars early on, as I believe there have been the last two games where they've been outshot by like a pretty big margin, but they have still been able to control these games. And I want to talk about, if it's okay with you, the special teams, because it's early, of course, but it feels like special teams, just like the turnover battle that we talk about a lot in football, is going to make the determination.
It's the X factor.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So if you like power play goals, yesterday was the day for you because you got the Wyatt goal, where that's the most incredible part about that play.
Tell me about it.
It's not that he scored the goal on the power play, and that was super neat, but if you go back and watch, or if you missed it, one of the Minnesota players, dang it, I'm forgetting his name. I'm going to go look in the box score. I'll be able to figure it out. He lost his stick, and he thought that Rope, it was Middleton. I'm almost positive it was Middleton. And he thought,
Chris Middleton.
He thought, no, not Chris Middleton. It's gotcha. Jake Middleton.
Okay.
He thought that Rope had taken his stick. Now, in reality, his stick was sitting like, I don't know, 2 feet in front of him.
Yeah.
But he thought that Rope took it. So one of the things that helped like spring this play was the fact that they were in this weird like stick tug of war right in front of the net. And boom, led to a power play goal. Now, unfortunately.
And that's opportunistic.
Sure.
Which the
absolutely.
Stars, look, Kevin, late last year, we started having the question of, is this an opportunistic team or a good scoring team? And we found that there were a lot of opportunistic goals that were scored. We got to figure out how to create goals when they're not easy. And that's something they struggled with later in the season that I hope doesn't change. But right now, Kevin, they're jumping on you early. Like, that's the thing that I like. They score early in games. I'm loving seeing that.
Yes. Now, if they could do perhaps a little bit better job of making the game comfortable, because I don't want to say holding the lead, because neither in the first game nor in this game did they actually give up the lead. They just had a heart-stopping part of the third period. Now, for the Wild, they scored their own two power play goals. So, hey, look, if you like special teams play but don't care for the penalty kill, you're just there for the power play, good news. Yesterday was the day for you. The teams combined to go 4-for-6 on the power play, which is insane. Although that feels like what Edmonton did in every playoff game ever.
Mm-hmm.
But so you go from 3-0 to 3-2, and that first goal that got scored in the third, the power play goal, made me nervous. And then it took a while, but Minnesota put another one up there. So all of a sudden, much like the first game, all of a sudden, it's down to a one-goal game. And then the Stars scored two empty netters. And I realized that. And I saw somebody sent that in, that the, you know, remember the Stars had scored two empty netters yesterday. And I'm not discounting that, but
I mean, they win that game 3-2 then.
Exactly. And so their offense is still clicking nonetheless, because if you want to put it like that, then I believe that is 15 contested goals in the first three games, or 13, which is still very, very impressive. But the Tolos and Corey Majors broke my brain last night.
This is true.
This is one of the first...
Alec's part of this, too.
This is one of the... Alec, you're at fault for this as well. This is one of the first things, if not the first thing, I told Corey this morning. It's 5-2. Because Minnesota pulls a goalie, because why the hell not? They give up a goal, and at that point, you know, might as well keep with it. So when Rope scored, it's 5-2. There's only 10 seconds left. But because of y'all, I think the Stars can only win games 5-4. So I watched the last 10 seconds of that game, knowing that we were going to win, just to see if Minnesota was going to score two goals in the last 10 seconds. And if they would have, I guess I would have conceded that the Stars can only win games 5-4. Luckily, that did not happen, but y'all broke my brain.
And I think one of the things that Kevin likes to say is, with new information, we can change...
Yes.
You can change your mind based on what you've said before.
Heads up, society. That works for you as well.
Oh. Right now, the Stars score five goals every game.
Right.
And everybody else has to catch up with the Stars. Until they don't score five goals a game, that's what we can say about this team, just like the 5-4 thing. So right now, hey, I'm okay with 5-2. I'm okay with 5-4. It's a win. It's 3 points. I'll take them. 2 points?
Or 2 points.
2 points. I'll take points.
You're thinking about FC Dallas.
I was thinking
later.
About FC Dallas and what they need.
I got you.
We have Michael Collodi on, or later on today, by the way, 1:30. Collodi. The fact that they can put up goals like that, I have confidence they will score goals throughout the season. They have a lot of guys that can score goals too. Just as we were talking about that top 35 list, a lot of those guys are on the front line, and they're very talented and skilled in that area. But I'm with you, Kevin. I don't want them to be a team that just relies on that, because guess what? The best teams in the NHL can score goals too.
Yeah.
Now, how do you combat that and be a tough defense and a tough team defensively while also being good offensively?
Because you can still most certainly stand to tighten up defensively. Now, it's 3 games, and I saw somebody send this in from the 972. I'm not necessarily concerned, because when you're the team that's trailing, you typically start throwing everything at the net. And that is true.
That is true.
That is not how either one of the games that I'm referencing, I felt like played out. It was the Minnesota game and the Colorado game. So the last 2 games. That probably made it look worse than it really was. But even when the games were still in the balance, you were getting outshot.
From the 214, Wayne Gretzky scored 3 goals in 9 seconds in 1 game. The fear was real, Kevin. So it's, you know that, what? I don't want to.
Yeah, that's. Is that, wow, not in an NHL game? Surely that was at a lower level game, right? That,
I don't know. I'll go ask
sounds
chat.
Bananas.
GPT.
Man, so you would have had to win like every faceoff. I guess they would have continued to leave him on the ice because they're like, that shift was 3 seconds long. And you just charge down and score. Man, that is freaking unbelievable. I know he's the great one, but that feels like that would have been at a lower level.
Chat GPT says that did not happen.
Okay, well, you know what? We've already discovered, especially when it comes to...
It was 2 goals in 9 seconds.
Okay. Now that, I can wrap my head around. Because you count the end of the possession when you score the goal. So like 1 second as your springboard. And then you score immediately the next time. That makes more sense to me. All right.
The fastest 3 goals it held is Bill Moisenko. 3 goals in 21 seconds in 1952.
Wow.
So it's been a bit.
Okay. That's still very impressive. But... that's good to know. By the way, in case you were curious about the specific placement of the Stars on the top 100 list from ESPN, Mikko Rantanen, 10. By the way, I'm going to have Mikko Rantanen autograph puck for Peace-a-thon.
For Peace-a-thon?
That's what? Right. As well as a pair of lower level Stars tickets. Jason Robertson, 19. Miro Heiskanen, 25. Rope, 31, Ottinger, 35, Wyatt Johnston, 61, and Thomas Harley, 81. Logan Stankoven, who was part of the trade that you did last year, he was at 93 now with Carolina, and I feel like maybe his stock rose while Wyatt's fell a little bit during the postseason. And so that's amazing. Most players in the NHL in the top 100 won ahead of Florida. So congratulations to the Stars. Congratulations on them for the win as Jake Ottinger continues to own Minnesota. And shout out to Esa Lindell for scoring like 5 minutes in the game, to your point about scoring really quickly.
Kevin, Russell Westbrook has agreed on a deal with the Sacramento Kings.
How much are they paying him?
It does not say.
Okay, because that number is probably going to be irritating.
I like when they say this. The 2017 league MVP.
So, bro, that was 8 years ago?
It's been a minute. This is 18th season.
Wow.
This is why load management shouldn't exist. They shouldn't be
Hold
playing
on, because you
seasons.
Don't want Russell Westbrook to exist in the NBA anymore?
10-year career max.
Wow.
I feel like we should start really looking at this and compartmentalizing it. No more 18, because for 18 years, has he been good for all 18 years?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we've been told this go around, we will have Daryl Moose Johnston. First question, why is he trying to derail AM on the FM? We'll find out if I have the guts to ask that question first, next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you three-time Super Bowl champion, NFL broadcaster, the newest member of the East-West Shrine Hall of Fame. It is Daryl Moose. Oh, my gosh. That was a long one. Johnston, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Have you ever had an interaction with somebody where they wanted to show you how long they could say moose, and you were like, I got other stuff to do today?
It is funny because it does tend to be extended at times. So I've never had anybody take the big breath in and then see how long they can run with it.
See, that's the thing. Like my childhood, we had Steve Buschel, and then we had you. And I was always kind of curious, what was it like to go into somebody else's stadium and hearing them say that for you when you touch the ball?
Yeah, well, it was. Are they actually saying moose or are they actually booing? So I always used it as, you know, it depends on what.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Way you want to frame it. So yeah, it was always somebody supporting me, but you know, kind of hard to think that would happen in the vet or RFK.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure there was probably some boos that were smattered in there as well, but yeah, I did appreciate it. And I think, you know, just the way that I approached my business and how I played the game, you know, there's a little bit of respect there where it's not, you know, I'm on the other team, I'm on the opposing team, but hey, you know what? He plays hard. Yeah, he's physical. He does things that other people won't do. So I think I always had a little bit of respect from the opponent.
Yeah, that's the way I always took it whenever I heard it.
You talked about two, like, very notoriously hostile environments. We were just talking about this the other day. Trey Savage, the pitcher with the Toronto Blue Jays, has been talking about, like, people adjacent to him, like family members or his girlfriend, getting harassed. Did you ever experience any of, like, your friends or loved ones getting harassed as well? Because I have to admit, that's a part of fandom that I don't really understand. I understand, like, booing somebody or going after him, but, like, somebody who isn't actually in the game, that is confusing to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's where it crosses the line. I've never had anybody, you know, to a confrontational component. But my wife is from the Philadelphia area. So early on in our marriage, we had a Monday night game at the vet when it was still a 9 p.m. Eastern kickoff, which allows the Philly fans quite a bit of time to even complete their day of work and still imbibe in their favorite beverage for multiple hours before they walk in. And when you played in Philadelphia, they put us in the, oh, I got to get this right now. It's the 700 level, which is kind of the rowdiest section of the vet.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law went in with silver and blue and the star. Oh. And at 60 years old, you know, just not what you would do, you know, to a couple that's sitting in front of you, that are in their 60s. And it just, yeah, that was disappointing. That's the most disappointing one I've ever heard. And, you know, never wanted to go again. You know, yeah. We didn't enjoy it. We didn't like it. You know, I've heard the same thing about the blue seats at Madison Square Garden. They kind of put the visiting team there. I think it's the NFL should have a rule where you cannot, you know, you have a notorious section in your stadium. You cannot put the visiting team anywhere near that section.
Yeah. I'm with that.
That's a good idea.
Moose, this season's already been kind of wild and wacky. And Jerry talks about a lot of times about parity in the league and how it's kind of built and designed for that. Does there seem to be an elite team in this NFL right now, or are they all still trying to find their ways?
I think they're still all trying to find their ways. I think that there's issues with everybody. You know, what are we at the power poll right now? Tampa Bay and Indianapolis?
Yeah.
1-2?
Yeah. As we all predicted.
You know, yeah. Right. There's a couple other teams out there that are struggling, right? Arizona's 2-4, and yet they did the same thing that Tampa did, but they lost all three games that came down to the final play of the game, where Tampa's won all three games that came down to the final play of the game. So I think we're getting closer games, and we're getting teams that have been together long enough that they know how to win a game in that situation. They can find a way to win. I think Indianapolis for me right now is a team that I would keep my eye on. They have a very good offensive and defensive line. They can beat you with Jonathan Taylor running the football. Michael Pittman is healthy. Daniel Jones is a legitimate quarterback. It's not a feel-good story anymore. It's just it's a really good team. I think that they would be a team that you would want to keep your eye on. But then, I mean, you've got to watch, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as they get everything sorted out and they start to get people back and they get healthy. I think that's the biggest thing to look at right now is okay, who are the top teams that are a little bit disappointing? Are they hit hard by the injury bug, you know, through the first month of the season? And will they get those guys back and will they get the ship righted? Because that happened to Kansas City a couple seasons ago. I mean, we were at Thanksgiving and they were an absolute disaster.
Right.
And then just went on a tear and ended up winning a Super Bowl that year. So, yeah, I think we have to wait and see. I think there's a couple of teams that are new to the conversation, which is great. But, yeah, I would keep an eye on, you know, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills. I think Baltimore is the one that's really just a head scratcher for everybody right now.
Dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'm glad about what's happening to Baltimore is you have another defense that you could talk about in the same category as the Cowboys defense right now. Because, like, I think people lose sight. I know Lamar Jackson got hurt, but people, I think, have lost sight of that defense for Baltimore has been pretty bad so far.
Yeah, and it's just, again, that's the big thing, right? Hey, they don't have Lamar, but if you looked at the defense side of the ball and who they're missing,
exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we had a conversation with Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals before our last game last weekend. And just for me, it's James Conner. When you watch James Conner on film, it's never pretty. It's never explosive. It's physical. It's always more yards than you thought. So he was that kind of emotional engine for that team. And how do you replace that guy? And he said, well, it's like everything, right? When you lose somebody that's your starter, you know, he's your starter for a reason. So there's certain things you're not going to be as good at. There's certain things that maybe come out of the playbook for a while. And I think we just got a number of teams that have been on the top for a long time where that's the situation. Why can't we stop the run? Well, you know, Madubuike is out of the lineup. You know, he is that good for Baltimore. So, yeah, I think we have to look at it, you know, through the whole, you know, a real narrow lens, especially when we're talking about that injury situation.
You said something that I think is amazingly interesting. Not that I'm not locked in on everything that you say, but Daniel Jones is no longer like a nice story. And how tough is it for quarterbacks to break that narrative? Because Baker Mayfield seems like he has surged to be the MVP favorite, or at least second, and Daniel Jones has the Colts rocking and rolling. But how hard is it to change your perception as a quarterback?
I had a conversation with Carson Palmer several years ago while he was in Arizona, and I'll always remember this. I said, how many quarterbacks are on the street right now that should be playing in the NFL, but because of timing and circumstance, got shuffled out of the league too early? And he said, 8 to 10.
Wow.
Immediately, 8 to 10. And he goes, a couple of them are probably better than I am right now at this stage of my career. So that just tells you about the fit. And now let's take that an extra step. Who are the three that we're talking about? We're talking about Baker Mayfield. We're talking about Sam Darnold. And we're talking about Daniel Jones. Where have all three of those been? They have been under the tutelage or spent a time or a brief amount of time with Sean McVay or with somebody from the Sean McVay tree.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield went out to the Rams before he came back to Tampa Bay on a 1-year prove it or lose it. Sam Darnold was a wash in multiple places, got around Kevin O'Connell, who I think may be the QB whisperer of all of them. I think he may be the best. And that's where Daniel Jones was last year. He left the Giants and he went to Minnesota and watched Sam Darnold turn his career around. He got to be around, Kevin O'Connell. I mean, the support staff they have up there is a Josh McCown, Wes Phillips. There's like four guys that work. And one of the things that you'll hear is, I never realized I had to work that hard. I never knew how detailed you can get. And the one thing that we hear from the coaches is the most important thing that you can say to a quarterback is four words: I believe in you. Mm. And that is one of the things that we talk about, but then we also follow up with actions and preparation. So I think the way that the Sean McVay tree approaches the quarterback position is unique, because we've got three glaring examples of guys who everybody thought career was over, and now all three of them could be, considered one of the better quarterbacks, in the league right now.
One of the things, and if you can kind of correct me if I'm wrong here, that I've been telling Kevin, I think with that group, it seems like they prioritize what's important for those guys, like what a quarterback needs to be thinking of. And that seems to be the most important factor, seeing how all of those guys have responded. It seems like understanding what's important and everything else is kind of just out there. Is that kind of in that vein?
Yeah. I think probably the biggest thing they talked to him about, and which is, I'm sure they've heard it from everybody they've been around, right? Stay ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Take the boring play. Don't make the critical mistake. Be the leader in the huddle. We've given you everything at your disposal that you need to be successful. Now just go play. Play fast.
Yeah.
Be confident. It's a lot of intangible things that they talk to them about. They've all got the physical skills to do it, or they wouldn't have been drafted where they were all drafted. So now it's just getting into that environment where you feel the trust from the coach and you have belief in yourself that you have at your disposal what you need to be successful. And I think that group of QB whisperers does.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Phenomenal job at that. And I would put Kyle Shanahan into that group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Jones. Maybe a little bit more to your point where everything I designed is going to be designed to your strengths. I know what your strengths are. I know when you're playing the game, I've watched your career. I know, what you need. I'm going to provide all that for you. And, Jimmy Garoppolo, he made Jimmy Garoppolo into somebody who everybody wanted to have on their team for a while. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy became Brock Purdy. Mac Jones is getting revitalized out there now. I think you roll Kyle Shanahan into that, but he probably is closer to the reason why that you discussed that, we're going to build this offense around everything that you do really, really well, and not force you into a system that has things that you don't do well, which everybody does. Everybody tries to play to the strength of the quarterback. But I think Kyle, he just does it a different way with the run game, with the pass game. What's your mobility? Where are your strengths inside the pocket, outside the pocket? He's like another level of detail in finding out what the strengths of the quarterback are.
Now, Moose, when you watch the Cowboys, do you have a lot of emotions that stir while you're seeing this team, these teams play?
Just when they do things that, make you scratch your head. You know, why are there guys wide open in the secondary all the time? You know, why, I think sometimes I've watched it with Chicago. You know, I'm getting ready for Saints at Chicago this week, and Chicago is great at taking the football away. But there's a lot of times where, it seems like that's been overcoached, where, this guy gets 8 yards after contact because you got two guys trying to rip the ball out, and he's got great ball security, and he's just going down the field. It's always it's the punch. It's the second guy in. You know, there's a time and a place, to generate a takeaway. And I think sometimes, they start to come in bunches, and then you feel like you can't do anything wrong, and the ball is going to bounce your way. And you just watch time after time these big runs that are happening to them because they're more worried about taking the football away than getting the guy to the ground. So I think there's a fine line there. And that's one of the things, for me, with Dallas, every once in a while I see that too. You can tell that, they're being, coached real hard on taking the football away. And sometimes, that's prioritized more than the fundamental of making the tackle.
Talk with Gerald Johnston right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I know yesterday they had the ceremony to get everything amped up for the East-West Shrine Bowl, which will be Tuesday, January 27th at the Ford Center at the Star. By the way, shrinebowl.com if you want to get those tickets. I wanted to get your thoughts about not only being inducted into their Hall of Fame, but also one of the pictures I saw was with Dallas Edwards, and I was reading more about that kid's story, and I was curious how much time you had to maybe talk or hear his story as well.
Oh, I got to visit with him before the event, and then we sat next to each other, and I got to visit with him and his mom after the event as well, too. You can't find a better ambassador with the matchup that they have right now, right? If you know, the East-West Shrine game is there to support Shriners' children. Dallas is the best ambassador you could ever have because he's both, right? He's been a part of Shriners' children since he was young, and he had the amputation on his left leg. And he's also a starting middle linebacker for his football team and has 10 sacks this season, playing with a prosthetic leg. So he was amazing. And the one story he told us is, when he was younger, he tried to work through it. He was born without a fibula. And it just, that's the weight bearing bone, on your lower leg, if I'm not mistaken. I think the tibia is the non weight bearing bone. So he had the weight bearing bone, and it was, he couldn't do certain things when he got to a certain age. And so he knew the road that he was going to have to go down. And the one that he mentioned to us was, he raved about his doctor, how his doctor was super positive with him down in the Shreveport area about doing the procedure and everything was going to be fine. And what do you want to do? Let me make sure that I understand what your thoughts are and what your vision is coming into this huge surgery. So I make sure that I do everything possible that you can attain those. And told him I want to be able to continue to play football with my friends. And, I love the game. And, that was okay. All right, let's go do this. And he said, he goes, I remember when I was 14 and I was running and I had never run that fast before in my entire life.
Wow.
So now you just have this epiphany that, yeah, I can do this. And he said the guys will look at him and, they have that look in their eye. And he goes, don't go down that path. Don't feel sorry for me because I don't feel sorry for you and I'm coming after you.
I like it.
And he has that on the field all the time. And he was amazing. He was really, really impressive. And he's got a dynamic smile. He was real nervous about his speech. And we were talking about that. I said, you'll be fine. I can see your notes. I mean, just, the one thing that can happen is you can lose your place. And if you lose your place, trace it with your finger. It doesn't matter that you're not using your hands when you're talking. If you want to make sure that you don't make a mistake, that's the biggest thing that's going to happen when your eyes come up to the crowd and you go back down. It's going to be tough to find out where you left off. And he did it a couple of times, but he would just flash that huge smile, and everybody loved him. So it was awesome. I'm cheering for him. He said his goal was 20 sacks when he came into the season. So I said, I expect at least 15.
Nice.
He's got four, two-thirds of the way there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got, only four games to go, but he's going to have to either tear it up for the last four games or get to 15. So I told him I'd start following him.
Well, I mean, that's not the only amazing story we're going to share right now. Somebody texted in from the 214. I got lost at the Byron Nelson when I was a kid, and I sat with Moose while he did a book signing until they found me. And he said that is still, he remembers that to this day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It really, really is. The East-West Shrine Bowl, and I'm sorry, we talked so much about Dallas. I don't want to underscore the fact or undersell the fact that you are also going into the Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that was very meaningful yesterday, especially, you know, with Jerry Jones coming out and presenting me. You know, that was very meaningful. And he shared some things that you know, we hadn't really, you know, talked about before. I've heard it from, you know, other people in the organization. But, you know, he talked about, you know, what my superpower was, you know, as a blocker. And he goes, you know, it doesn't always show up the way it was drawn up on the paper. You know, sometimes, you know, the ball is snapped and everything changes in front of you. And he goes, Daryl had the unique ability to block the biggest threat, maybe not his responsibility, but the biggest threat to the play. And we always got extra yards because he could always see that. And that meant a lot to me because that was something I took a lot of pride in, you know, not always just doing your job because that's what it says on paper. Okay, that guy is not going to be able to make the play. I'm going over here because that's the guy that's going to have the best chance to get Emmett. And so that was super meaningful. And then they wanted me to be able to reflect back on my experience at the game. So, you know, I was able to talk about Marcus Paul, who was the old strength coach for the Dallas Cowboys, who we lost prematurely to a blood clot and had an aneurysm. So Marcus was my captain at Syracuse, and we went out to the East-West Shrine game together, and we ended up becoming friends with, you know, several of the guys from Pitt, which was Burt Grossman at the time, a defensive end, Jerry Olsavsky, who was a linebacker, and Mark Stepnowski.
Who was
a center for the University of Pitt. So got to know Mark even before we became teammates in Dallas. And then Tony Tolbert. Tony Tolbert was at that game as well. So, you know, for me, it was kind of like the next stage I was going into, you know, the East-West Shrine game allowed me to meet, you know, two of my future teammates with the Dallas Cowboys and you know, get to know them at that time. So when we came into Dallas together, and then you kind of follow it, right? Because that's pre-draft, and you're like, Oh my God, that's, you know, I was with those guys out at the East-West Shrine game. This is going to be awesome. And because you're really nervous coming into that first organized activity as a rookie. And so to be able to have two guys that you met and became friendly with out at the East-West Shrine game made things a little bit easier in transition.
Those are some amazing memories. They are still doing good work to this day. ShrineBowl.com. Tickets as low as $20. The game, January 27th, Ford Center. Look, man, he just told you.
Yes.
You could be watching future Cowboys.
I love it.
Thank you very much for the time. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame honor as well. We love talking to you, man.
Yeah, good to catch up with you guys. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks.
There you go. Daryl Johnston right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's always weird to just say it like that and not say Moose.
I love him. Do you remember the time that he said Merry Christmas to us and we didn't say it back?
And then, I remember how much that
the
bothered
next time
you.
I said, I love you. And he was like, I love you guys too. And then that was awesome. I'm pretty sure that happened that way.
Do you wish we would have said we love him this time?
We forgot this time.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where Corey will sort through more of his feelings, but also, besides just the Ravens, who are the most negative surprise NFL team so far? Next on The Fan.
Tua over the middle, and it's picked off. Intercepted by St. Juice. They're saying he was down at the spot where he caught it, but another Tua Tagovailoa interception.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL, or as much of it as we can today, and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep in.
Now, I know the logical explanation here, or the logical answer here is the Ravens. So I wanted to see if maybe we can
True
go
logic.
Beyond. Okay. Well, then forget the Ravens. What is the most surprising team in a negative connotation? Because we talked about
Ravens
positive besides just the Ravens. And in an update, Noah Brown for the Commanders is going to the injured reserve, and Terry McLaurin is expected to practice this week. We will see how that goes.
This is odd for me to say because I kind of felt like we were heading that direction this year, but the Dolphins being 1-5.
The Dolphins are a fair answer for
is
sure.
Is definitely a massive surprise in that direction because I did not expect them to have fallen off this much from from the introduction of Mike McDaniels. I was like, okay, he's going to be a good offense. And they've just they've always been a little clunky. There've been times where that thing was cooking, but right now they're in a bad culture spot. Now, Schottenheimer came in and said, I'm fixing the culture. Skip Schumacher's coming in and fixing the culture. Every coach comes in to fix the culture. How do you fix the culture when you're in the middle of it?
Right.
And can you be the one to fix it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to have the autonomy to say, I'm clearing out everybody and I'm rebuilding culture. But I don't think he does, and therefore that's a bad cesspool of terribleness right now.
I'm going to pivot to the Jets. I was going to say the Texans, but the last 2 weeks, now they have beat two of the worst teams in the NFL, but they've done so at a clip of 70-10. So okay. I'll give them credit for that. They had some early season massive offensive line struggles, but since they've won two in a row, I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm not saying that people thought the Jets were going to be
unbelievable.
Yeah, not 0-6. And we got to the point at 0-5 with no turnovers forced, which was the first time probably in the history of the NFL, but at the very least for 90 years, because they didn't have complete records of those first few years. Like, that is a whole nother level of just terribleness. Alec, is there a team, maybe we've already named it, that you think is the most surprising in a negative manner so far?
I don't know if I'm alone in this idea, but the Raiders. I feel like,
ooh.
I talked about it a little bit. I know that Corey mentioned, you know, the Pete Carroll effect, and I thought that was going to be real. Like, I thought having a real leader that has been there, done that, that has won before, and actually knows how to coach a football team that has a decent amount of veterans on that team too, by the way. Like, I felt like it was an experienced team with an experienced head coach. They got the flashy new running back, Ashton Jeanty. I thought they were going to score points, and they haven't really done that too much.
Now, did you have something?
Somebody's got to lose the games.
They pay their players too.
The Raiders happen to be the ones losing games.
They're the designated jobber in these matchups. That, you know what? When that's the case, you should already start the game when they do the intros on the field. Like, you shouldn't even get to come out of the tunnel to celebrate. You're just like, and in the ring, Pete Johnson. Because, like, you know that person is there specifically to
wear
lose.
The generic blue,
yes,
or
exactly.
White.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, offensive players of the week. Probably won't surprise you to know that Bijan Robinson won offensive player of the week in the NFC. And in the AFC, Patrick Mahomes. He won his 12th. AFC Offensive Player of the Week award. So congratulations.
In his life?
Yeah.
Only 12?
Yeah.
I feel like he should have more.
They but probably I guess get bored.
He does most of his good stuff in the playoffs. So maybe
that can be true. All right. Are you prepared? You know the ice bowl. Are you prepared for the icy hot bowl?
No.
So.
I'm not.
The Steelers and the Bengals, which means Aaron Rodgers against Joe Flacco. It has been dubbed the Icy Hot Bowl, as this will be the second time in NFL history that a pair of opposing quarterbacks 40 or older start a regular or postseason game against one another.
I'm going to hate this game.
It's clever, though.
I'm going to hate this game so much.
Are you going to hate the fact that if the Steelers win, won't they be 5-1 then? Like, what? What's happening?
Yeah. Do you think
I'm a huge Steelers fan?
Damn it! Do you think Tomlin was crying about the whole Flacco thing? Was that whining a little bit? Or was that
a little,
or is he right?
A little bit. I also think he feels better about Joe Flacco, because remember, like, he had made the comment of like, hey, we don't want Flacco in this game. Like, keep Anthony Richardson standing upright. But yeah, when he was like, oh, you believe in that quarterback so much that like you just send him to another team that has a deficiency.
Why did you start him in the first? He's 11-11 over his career against the Steelers, by the way. So maybe that's where Tomlin's like, no, I really don't want Joe Flacco.
Yeah. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks, dude, for the icy hot ball.
Yeah. No, well, I didn't originate it. And I don't know.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I don't know if it was Cam Hayward who originated it, but he did say yesterday, oldest quarterbacks playing this week. Let's go. Icy hot bowl. I love it. So I don't know if he invented that phrase or not, but either way, it is clever. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.